believe Dingo Creek bringing us into our special guest. Been sitting here chatting away to an old identity of Coffs Harbour and a really nice fella, and his name's Arnie Forsyth. Good morning, Arnie. How are you?
Good morning, Graham, and good morning to all the Coffs Harbour folk. I don't know what's special about me, except that I suppose I'll be 80 this year. Anyhow, I got to make it yet, and I hope so. Anyhow, I have quite a lot of things I know and I can say about the people of Coffs Harbour. I'm not going to give any secrets away, except the fact maybe a few funny things and maybe a few serious things. But first of all, I'd like to thank those nice girls who are kind old people. My wife in particular, they come up and offer to help her. And don't tell me that there's not a nice people left in the world.
There are heaps of them, Arnie. You're the first chemist I ever remember in Coffs Harbour, Arnie, Forsyth's chemist.
Yeah, I came here in 1938.
All right, well, let's have a talk about you. Whereabouts were you born, Arnie?
I was born in 38 Forsyth Street, Willoughby, called after my forebears, who came here very early, in the early 80s.
Yeah. Oh, what about your mum and dad? Were they born in Sydney or...?
Mum was a Wollumbi girl and a Chapman, and my grandfather was a Walker, and they married. He was a Moses Walker from the St. Albans Valley, and basically we are related to the Reverend Alan Walker, who came from the same area.
That's right.
Yeah.
What did your dad do?
Oh, my dad was a leather merchant.
A what?
A leather merchant.
Right.
Yeah. He was in leather. Of course, the new vinyl soles and that have beaten into the leather business, and the family have been out of that a long time, yeah.
Well, that'd be a very important trade in those days.
It was in those days. Yeah, they had tanneries in Willoughby, the bottom end of Willoughby.
Right. Whereabouts did you go to school, Arnie?
I went to school, primary school, Chatswood, North Sydney Boys High School, the pharmacy school at the Sydney University, and that about finished my education.
Yeah, right. What did you think of school?
Well, I was one of those lucky people that loved school, and I think that I had a very good go at school, and I have nothing against the school system in my day.
No. What sort of things did you get involved with in school?
Oh, in primary, I was virtually involved in nothing. I had a lot of sickness when I was in the early years. But around 15, I started to develop, and I finished up boxing, cricket, football, athletics, and swimming.
Good. You really got involved, mate.
I got in the first grade football team, and I loved it, and I loved cricket, too.
What sort of football do you play? League? Or
rugby union, yeah.
Union, right.
I believe there's a North Sydney Boys High School player here now.
Yeah. Arnie, I asked everyone this. What do you think of the basic difference between school in those days than what it is today? Is there much difference, or do you think it's a...
Well, I owe whatever I am to the three R's, I suppose. I loved English, history, and science in particular I loved, and I think we were given a very, very good basic education.
Yeah, you're a young boy living in Willoughby in those days. What was Willoughby like in Sydney? I suppose it had the
trams. Well, Willoughby was down below our street, was this now all houses, was Chinese Garden.
Mm.
Yeah.
They had the trams then?
We had trams, yes, early and right through. I remember a bad tram accident at McMahon Point when my next door neighbour was killed in the accident down McMahon's Point.
What sort of accident? Was two
trams
involved?
No, the tram ran away, the brakes failed, and we used to go across McMahon's Point across before the bridge. I remember watching the bridge being built.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was there many horses, horse-drawn vehicles?
I remember the drays and the vehicles running around with the old Clydesdales in them. Very, very popular in those days.
Do you think that they will bring back in the monorail they're talking about now for transporting people, people movers around Sydney?
Well, I don't know. I'm inclined to the more accessibility of the transport system, where you get one drop off at every corner sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Right, and I suppose the older days of Sydney will never be the same today. It's just a mass
of traffic. I remember driving up George Street, up to university, and get a tram at the quay every morning. I used to drive down to the university, jump off the tram, rush up on top of Sergeant's, have a pie and coffee cake and cup of coffee and tear off to work. We had apprenticeship in my day, and I was apprenticed to a chemist in Roseville. And he was a very, very fine chemist, and he gave me a very, very, very good grounding, which killed me in good stead when I eventually got to Coffs Harbour.
Yeah, well, you left school, and then you became an apprentice to... It was an apprentice, I suppose?
Yes, I was an apprentice,
yeah. Yeah, right. And that was in the city?
Yeah.
Right. And how long were you there?
Oh, I was an apprentice for 3 years, but in those days, your apprenticeship you did in the morning and in the afternoon, and you did the university in the morning, and I didn't get the university holidays like most students do. I only got a fortnight from the apprenticeship. And by the way, when my apprenticeship, my dad had to pay £100 for my apprenticeship.
Dear, that's a lot of money.
Well, in those days, I suppose it'd probably be £1,000 or £2,000 today.
Yeah, who did he pay that to?
To the chemist.
Right.
Yeah.
Gee.
Anyway, I got my money worth.
Did you? How long did you stop with him?
Oh, 3 years, and I'm very grateful to him. He was a very great chemist and a very great guy. David Dunn of Roseville.
Arnie, whereabouts did you marry?
I married in Armidale. I went to my first job in Armidale. I took a permanent job with Malham & Company in Armidale. And I married an Armidale girl, Zoe Knott, who passed away after I retired here in Palm Beach in Sydney. And then I went to America, and I went to a trip after that. My son's Bob, who passed away recently, and Chris wanted me to have a break and go, and so I did a trip around the world, and I went to Scandinavia, and I met Violet on the steps of the palace, helping her up the steps. She had a cane, and I took her by the arm to help her up the steps, like as I often say to a joke, and I've been hanging on to the bloody thing ever since. Violet laughs about it, and so do I, but we're very good mates.
Arnie, you married in Armidale, and what year did you arrive in Coffs Harbour?
1938.
What brought you to Coffs Harbour?
Well, I was in Wee War before cotton.
Mm-hmm.
I always say BC. I started to think I'd had... Bob was our first son, and who has passed away, and I thought of their education, and I thought I'd go somewhere else, and I was in Armidale, sort of in between, and I heard there was a business for sale, Ron Atwater, in Coffs Harbour.
And so you decided...
And so I decided to come here and have a look, and I saw the potential here, and I was right, it was a great potential, and I settled in Coffs Harbour and met some wonderful, wonderful people.
Okay, we'll have a talk about that in about 2 seconds. A little bit of Farron Young, and 4 in the morning. And at this stage of the morning, we always have a very special guest in, and this morning it is Arnie Forsyth, one of the very, very first chemists that we have in town, now retired in Coffs Harbour. And what year was it that you came to Coffs Harbour, Arnie?
1938, and actually, I was the third chemist. A chap called Finch, I think, was the first. Ron Atwater was second, and I bought him, and my opposition was Keb Dacey, who people may remember.
Well, you come from Wee Water.
From Wee Water here.
Yes. To have a look at a business here.
Yeah, Ron Atwater's here.
When you come over to have a look at it, whereabouts did you stay, Arnie?
Oh, I stayed at the Coffs Harbour Hotel. It was only a year old at the time, a lovely new hotel.
How many hotels were here?
Oh, there was Fitzroy, Coffs Harbour, and the Jetty Pub.
There was three hotels.
Three hotels. Yeah. Two chemists, three hotels, two doctors.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, when you came here, how many schools were here?
Well, there were two, I think. The Coffs Harbour Primary, And the, I think the convent had a public school there,
yeah.
Primary school, and I don't know about the secondary. And while I was here, Coffs Harbour High School, 1938, Coffs Harbour High School started, and a very, very fine man, I think one of the finest men I've ever met, Russell Hodge, who was the headmaster of the public school, and he went from there, I suppose it hasn't happened much in Australia, he went from the primary school to headmaster of the high school, the first high school in Coffs Harbour, and the kids, generally, he was very well liked by all the children.
There were three hotels here. How big was the Coffs Business Centre in those times?
Oh, Coffs Business Centre was pretty full along the main street, starting with Cox Brothers, Burns Wine Shop and Sammy O's, Henderson's News Agency, and then my pharmacy. There was Jack Barapatis, Bill Simmons, and I don't know how many people remember Jimmy Walters, accountant. And then there was McGregor's Bakery, Archie Smith's Butcher, and then there was Mrs. Anderson's Toy Shop, and I think it was Maloof's on the corner of the street they closed. So I think it carries on from where the City Hall is now. I think it's called, the name won't come to me.
Yeah.
I did hear it this morning, I've forgotten, that's my age showing up
there. What other businesses were around?
Well, on the opposite me, there was the old, not opposite, opposite Simmons, the old School of Arts, and opposite me was Wunderlich's shoe shop, and I think Arthur Fogarty Butcher, Conruthing Jeweller, and there was a shop with a flat behind it I lived in for a while. And then there was the Bank of New South Wales on the corner opposite the Coffs Harbour Hotel, and of course diagonally opposite the bank was the post office in its present site.
Right. What were the people like in those days?
Well, I tell you, there were some fantastic people about. For some reason or other, I remember two very lovely old people up in Curacoa Street, Mrs. Kelly and Mrs. Barber.
Hmm.
And there were lots of other lovely people. I remember the people were friendly and very, very kind. I remember some very funny stories that used to go about in those days. I remember the Shire Council, Dorigo Shire Council, was at Caramba, and something came up about a letter from Coffs Harbour about lunchtime. And somebody had written in and said there should be a urinal in Coffs Harbour. and one of the councillors didn't know what it meant. So he suggested it be adjourned after dinner. He went home after dinner and looked up the dictionary, came back to the council, and the chairman at the time raised the question and said, we'll now discuss that matter about the urinal and the... Councillor jumped up and says, I think we should, Mr. Chairman. He said, as a matter of fact, I think Coffs Harbour should have a urinal. He said, I think it should have an arsenal too.
Arnie, what sort of social life went on in Coffs and Neverstone?
Well, we used to dance a hell of a lot at the School of Arts. I remember there's some very lovely lady dancers around, and I used to like to dance with them. They seemed to like to dance with me, and we used to really have a lot of fun at the School of Arts. A little bit of drinking went on, like it does today. Life hasn't changed a lot, except they're wilder today. We had more sort of decorum and, always dressed up and wore our nice clothes, and ladies wore nice frocks, and it was really, they still do, but not to quite the same extent that we did. We had some great ball. I remember when Rotaries were started and I was the foundation president of Rotary, that meeting we had at the getting our charter was probably the biggest meeting. It was in 1945 after the war. That was probably the biggest building ever been held in the School of Arts. The School of Arts was there in 1949. I can't think now when it was bought and I think Woolworths bought it, I think.
Yeah. Well, Arnie, you just move a little bit back from the... That's a shot. In those days, you'd have been here during the war?
Oh, yes. I always remember the war and the fine young fellas that didn't come back. It was a sad time. I remember the Comfort Fund. I tried twice to get in the army and or in the forces, but I was rejected both times on varicose veins, and of all things. And I remember that those times of blackout. I remember when somebody ran into the monument up between the post office and the Bank of New South Wales in the middle of the Grafton Street there, which they removed eventually. It was a blackout, and somebody ran straight into the monument. And made a bit
during
of a
the
measure.
Blackout?
Yeah, the blackout, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one night a team of Americans, the first Americans I ever saw, arrived in their uniforms with stripes all over them, and they wanted at 9 o'clock to get a feed. And I said, I'll get your feed. And I went out the back and knocked on the window and called up Jack Barrapattis, and I said, Jack, you better get ready for these fellas. They're as hungry as hell. And they were steak and eggs and things. I'll come and help you. And I dished up double of ice cream milkshakes to them. And Jack gave them steak and eggs. And they said, man, that's the best meal we've had for a long time. And they loved, they'd never had steak and eggs. And those fellas really loved those steak and eggs that Jack dished up for them.
Yeah.
I think that's the best nice business Jack Jarapatis ever had.
Arnie, did you remember any action with planes or boats here?
Oh, yes, I remember. The Air Force came here and the Army sent up a battalion or two from Singleton who stayed at the showground, and the Air Force came here later. And talking about the Air Force, you know, brings me back to Billy Cox and the Aero Club. If it hadn't been an Aero Club, we might never have had an airport because I think that's... all started with the great Aero Club we had here.
Yeah.
And it was a very strong little organisation, and it was the sort of the start of the... When I hear about the upgrading of the airport, I start to think back about the day a fellow, I can't think of his name, he's a high school teacher, he was driving his plane all around, and we looked up and we saw his wheel hanging down He eventually landed, I'll cut the story short. I never saw a bloke look so white in my life. I think he'd had his day. But he landed safely, scraped the plane a bit, and it was probably a grass landing strip there, otherwise he would have done more damage.
Well, Peter Conopro would know all about that sort of thing.
I guess he would. Recently I read about his trip. It was very, 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 very good work he did there.
Yeah. All right, mate, we'll get back to you real shortly, and there was lots of things started when you were...
Oh, God, blimey, I don't know how a man condenses 31 years in Coffs Harbour into half an hour. It's pretty hard.
All right, we'll try in a minute. Hey, Charles, and I can't stop loving. As always, we have a special guest from Coffs Harbour, and his name's Arnie Forsyth this morning, and it's good to have you in, Arnie. You were involved in quite a few clubs in Coffs Harbour when you first came to Coffs Harbour with your chemist shop. What were some of those clubs that you were first involved
with? Well, I was too busy early. I remember a couple of fellows were working for me when I came here, and I just put one of them off who wasn't doing a very good job, and then I kept on Brownie Grimmond, and I remember Mary Wills then, who's now Mary Lloyd, was my first girl. And a wonderful girl she was and still is. Anyhow, but I got eventually involved. I remember I started playing golf, and that used to be out on the Hills Golf Course. It was a Hills Farm at Caroora.
Out of Hills Beach.
Yeah, you'd whack a drive up the middle of the fairway, and you'd think, oh boy, that's a screamer. And by the time you got up to it, it was buried in a hole in some Coots grass somewhere, and you used to get out your chip and have to chip it further up the golf course. It was very frustrating. Yeah. He eventually gave up golf and took up bowls, and well, I was involved in the golf club with Dr. Hawke in the new golf course. I was the treasurer of the golf, I think it was the treasurer of the golf course, and it was formed in those early days. I think Bill Corry was the designer, and Dr. Hawke and he conferred a lot, and we had meetings, and I remember there was a tin shed, I think it was, on the other side of Raleigh Street or somewhere like that was the first golf house.
And up there in Pill Hill.
Oh, well, I had a block in Pill Hill, and I think everybody, the other chemists did, and I think there were more than two chemists then, and they called it Pill Hill because all the chemists had a block of land on it.
And then the first golf club was there on Raleigh Street, on top of one of the hills.
Oh, yes, I can bring them a beer or two up in that old golf house. There was a taxi driver fellow, I can't think of him, Kemp, I think it was, yeah. God, mind the memory better than I thought. And I think, I forget his first name, but Kemp was the barman up there in those days.
Right.
Yeah.
What about the bowling club? Were you involved with the bowling club at all?
Oh, yes, I was on the first committee of the bowling club, and I remember a very nice chap called Dave McGregor was the instigator of the bowls, and we had our first bowling club clubhouse and one lousy green. And the first clubhouse was on the south.
That's right.
That wasn't to start with either. It was mostly loans that were paid back at 6%, and the golf club paid for itself all along the way. It was a very good club, that golf club. Bowling club, I mean.
Yeah, right.
And the golf club, it sure developed. Last time I was out there, when I came up from Sydney as the state president of the Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
That's the last time I've been in a golf club out there.
Yeah. What about Rotary? You were
I was approached to see if we could have a Rotary Club here by somebody from Newcastle. A veterinarian from Newcastle came up to see me. I can't think of his name. And I saw people like Dr. Dolman. I went across and saw Arthur Fogarty and Con Ruthening. I remember Isles, Max Isles in those days. Yeah. Mm. And we went and saw Vic Redcliffe. Vic was a very fine size in his arms. Mm. And I remember Vic, he was a great, like me, a young, active little fella. And he used to buzz around and do his things. He was always on the job at 8 o'clock in the morning. But anyhow, the Rotary Club started up, and we got about 20-odd fellas together and started the first Rotary Club in 1949. That was about the last big fair held in the School of Arts, the Elf School of Arts in High Street.
You mentioned Vic Redcliffe, who is sort of recently died. Whereabouts did he have his business?
Oh, he was up at the Fitzroy Hotel.
Yeah. What did he do there?
Oh, he had a tyre petrol place, a tyre retreading, tyre sales petrol place. Very, I'd say, successful one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chamber of Commerce.
Howell Foote was next door in those days with the garage, selling cars and mechanics and that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah.
I think Partridges are there now. They weren't in the car business when I was here.
No, Mazda, yeah. Arnie, what about the Chamber of Commerce? Did you have anything to do with that?
Oh, yes, I remember the first Chamber of Commerce. We had Mick Cunningham was president when I came here, and boy, there used to be fiery meetings. Mick's Irish Temper used to get up, and everybody else's, and some very, very unwavy subjects came up and were discussed in the most vicious manner. But I was able to hold my own. I think I finished up president of that one before the war, and went into recess during the war, and the Chamber of Commerce was revived, I think, by old Harry Bailey, who was ex-Shire Councillor. And he was the first president of the new Chamber of Commerce, about in the 1940s, I think it was, early, 48s, 40s, 50s, I'm not sure which it started now. Anyhow, I'm the oldest living, I know, past president of the Chamber of Commerce that started after the war.
What about John Larkin? Was he in there in them days?
John Larkin was the best secretary a man ever had. He was secretary for 25 years, and both John and I are life members of the of the Chamber of Commerce, the only two life members of the present Chamber of Commerce. Mm. And I would say that there's not many members of the Chamber of Commerce that even know me now. But that's nothing against them. I'm old, they're young, and they've got to get on with their job. And I hope I can feel a new sort of life coming into the Chamber of Commerce. I don't know why, and I can sort of feel a new spirit. Instead of condemning all the time, I think we should be lifting the town along and praising it and having a more positive outlook in everything. And
Well, Coffs has come a long way.
It's a big place. It's a city now, and but the basic the same people I meet, they seem to be just the same as they always were.
Arnie, the Industrial Development Committee, you were involved in that?
I was chairman of the Industrial Development Committee when John Smith came here first.
What about NRA?
I still reckon that Coffs needs a lot more industrial development, although it is a tourist town, because you've got your background for employment there, as well as the tourist industry, and you'll have a much more successful town. Mm. I think there should be a really more direct drive by some group for industrial development here. Mm. There's a hell of a lot of room for it. I remember I was on the board of the Grafton Dud Examiner, as well as chairman of the old Advocate Opinion. I remember when we joined, the Opinion was a separate paper, and we joined together. Mm. And my old friend Dr. Rainey McDonald was in the Opinion, and I was the chairman, the Advocate. Anyhow, we sort of got the two together, and now it's the one paper, and independent paper in those days. And old Sir Earl Page asked me onto the board of the Grafton Daily Examiner, and while I was there, the question of television was coming up, and the Grafton Daily Examiner board started a thing called Beauty's Own Television. And Beauty's Own Television, of which I was chairman, I had the job of talking to Grafton Daily Examiner, Coffs Harbour Advocate, McKemsey, McClayarkus, into putting £1,000 each into the start of Northern Rivers Television, which was then Channel 10. And we found that the channel was clashing with the northern channels, and so the Broadcasting Control Board changed us over to Channel 11, I remember that, and it's been Channel 11 ever since. And I remember we had a bit of trouble with some managing directors early, then we, not real trouble, but just, you know, it was a new industry and people were taking on jobs that really they weren't qualified for. And I tell you, it was tough going being chairman of a television company, because we were so close to being broke a few times that nobody would ever know, really. Mm. Brian Miller would know. I remember asking Brian Miller to be chairman of the secretary of the company. Mm. And he had to take a while. I gave him 24 hours to make up his mind. He made it up and came on as secretary, and Alec Gilchrist was on the board and a few others, and it was Dr. Ivan Page. Actually, I remember going up the road. They were making up to Mount Moomble, and damn near killed me walking up those rocks they had heaped up on the road. And it was a very interesting. That's why I'm looking forward to going to Yulong.
You're going to Yulong. What are you going to Yulong?
Well, I'm going to Yulong. We're going on the 20th of September. We've got about 24 in the bus load going up. And I'd say it'll be a highlight, because it's such a lovely place. And there were always nice people up there. The Timbers I know a few. Even you, Graham, come from Yulong way, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah. I remember your sister.
Right. There's lots of nice people come from.
I remember your sister. They were digging people like the Boltwoods and the Ides and the Quiggins and the people from the Arara.
Great.
I remember Harold Boltwood. You remember Harold Boltwood?
No, I don't.
Harold Boltwood, he was the son of the older man, Boltwood, who settled out at Arara, I think, or the son of the settler, I don't know which.
Who's going to Yulong? How are you going to...
Oh, a lot of oldies, Alan Crawford, Marge Burns, you wouldn't remember Marge Burns, would you?
I know Marge, yeah.
Marge Burns, Claire Condon,
What a busload of it.
Busload of us going up on Sunday, next Sunday week, and we're going to have a ball up.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Go and have a check the club.
After all, you've got to have to... I remember we used to have lots of fun in the old days. Why shouldn't we still?
Yeah, you still can.
Yeah.
Mate, getting back to when you had your business, when did you sell your business?
I sold my business to Leland Cross and Peter Redette in 1969.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do then?
I went to Palm Beach where my first wife, Zoe, passed away. And then I left there and went to Chatswood. I met Violet in Stockholm. And I like your last record. It was just what I'd like to say to Violet.
Yes. I can't stop loving you.
Yeah.
Good on you, mate. And you were in Palm Beach. And how long ago did you come back to Coffs Harbour?
Well, I came back here last year, and I've decided to settle here. I bought a villa up in Perry Drive, where I'm going to in November.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Violet and I bought a plot out at Kurangi, so that's looking ahead, I hope.
Well, you got one more move to make, you reckon?
I don't intend to move out of Coffs by the look of it.
You're going to really settle in Kurangi.
Well, I'm settling in here for another 10 or 12, 15 years.
Yeah. And how do you think Coffs has changed since those earlier days? Do you think it's gone for the better?
Oh, there's some things I like and some things I don't. I'm not going to criticise. I can't do anything about it now, and I leave the young people, the younger generations, and the newcomers to either fix it up or mess it up.
I don't know. Yes, it's time.
But it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yes, there's a time for doing it and a time for stepping aside and letting others in. And
you take a day like today. Where do you get days like today?
Only
in Coffs Harbour, yeah.
Well, a man that's done a tremendous amount of work in Coffs Harbour, we really appreciated you coming in this morning, Arnie.
Well, I don't know how in the hell you cover 31 years in Coffs Harbour in half an hour. I could tell that many stories about so many people that... But being a chemist, I'm signed to secrecy, so don't worry, anybody. I'm not going to split on you.
I think we might get you in some other time and we might get some of those stories out of you.
No, I'm not going to split on anybody. I have too many faithful friends.
Good on you, mate, and thanks very much for coming in and have yourself a real nice
time. Well, frankly, Graham, I enjoyed it, and you're a nice bloke, and I hope to wish the station every success.
Thanks very much, honey.